I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Our economy is strong and improving by the day, and it will soon be roaring back like never before. It will top the levels that it was a month ago. I've made clear from the beginning of Operation Epic Fury that we will continue until our objectives are fully achieved. Thanks to the progress we've made, I can say tonight that we are on track to complete all of America's military objectives shortly, very shortly. We're going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong. Yet if during this period of time no deal is made, we have our eyes on key targets. If there is no deal, we are going to hit each and every one of their electric generating plants very hard and probably simultaneously. We have not hit their oil, even though that's the easiest target of all, because it would not give them even a small chance of survival or rebuilding. But we could hit it, and it would be gone, and there's not a thing they could do about it. They have no anti-aircraft equipment. Their radar is 100% annihilated. We are unstoppable as a military force.
That is President Trump last night in his address to the nation. Now, no one knew, except inside the White House or even inside President Trump's mind, what exactly he was going to detail last night. But he got time on every major news network because he wanted to see what's happening. Was he going to launch a ground invasion into Iran? Was he going to do additional bombings that had not been planned? He basically was putting everything in front of you, the American public, so you know where we stand. And if word can get into the Iranian people where they stand, and the Iranian leadership certainly knows where they stand, basically in the dark, out in the whatever is coming down around them. And he's indicating, we will bomb you back in the Stone Age if you continue to persist. These missiles that they have been building, and again, this should absolutely irritate the Europeans who are relying on their leaders in Berlin and Paris and where else, the UK, that, well, this is not our fight. We don't need to be involved. Every one of those ballistic missiles that Iran has, they've shown the capability, they could reach right into your homeland, right into your capital. They can't reach us yet. And so what Trump was doing basically with this action, along with the Israelis, taking out those missiles to make sure that you in the European Union are safer. There's a question that got raised overnight to the Supreme Commander of NATO. The question is NATO still going to leave or need America after this is over? Do you think they will stay? We'll have that answer for you in our second hour. But I want you to keep it in mind because all of this, for the most part, has been for the European Union. We do not need the Hormuz Strait. He made that very clear. We don't need it. We're trying to keep it open for you. But we're at a point that if you want it, you come take it. Either that or you buy oil from us. And I would imagine today there's some heavy, distinctive, candid, belligerent talks going on in some of the capitals of these European nations. There should be. Now, I'll have to admit, on everything we heard from the president last night, I was expecting more. I was expecting some details. Now, again, I'm against giving anything that would enable the enemy and telegraphing what we're going to do next. So he's still pretty vague. And he gave no timetable for wrapping everything up, but said it should be soon. That's vague enough. But at the same time, I'm glad he went to the American public because he's got all these naysayers on the left and even inside the Republican Party saying, what are we doing? We don't know what we're doing. Let me give you an example here real quick. And some of this we know. We know because We've seen it right in front of us. One of the veteran Democrat strategists, James Carville, condemned Trump, saying he's just gloating. He's gloating and said Trump has put the world into a world of heart and is going to pay off in the midterm elections to defeat Trump. You think so? I'll get into that in more detail for you in the second hour. Oh, and someone else who thinks they have relevancy in any of this. You, as an American citizen, you do have a right to say what you want. And I don't care your status. If you are the dog catcher, or if you are an unemployed American, maybe losing your jobs to the illegals that came in, or if you are the commander and CEO of a major company, or if you're a rock star like Bruce Springsteen, trying to mock his name, and I blew that, but he was doing a concert in Minneapolis, which I assumed he thought, I'm in Minneapolis. I'm in the midst of the blue state and blue country and all the Somalians around me. I'm going to be a really big, big draw in there. He did have a big concert, but then he started making remarks, delivering a blunt warning about the state of America, pointing out four political speeches during the opening night of his Land of Hope, Dreams of American tour, saying we're living through very dark times. Our American values have sustained us for 250 years are being challenged. We've got young men and women's lives at risk in an unconstitutional, illegal war, and this is happening now. Yep, there he goes, taking the leftist line right away. And he started talking about immigrants being held in detention centers around the world, so forth and so on. Bottom line is, a lot of them in the audience started booing and walking out on him. Unfortunately, they're not going to get their money back. Look, if you want to be a big Hollywood star and you want to go around and preach your politics, so be it. You're entitled to do that. And the American public takes note, and they will pay you back in their own way. And the Artemis crew, by the way, they've been orbiting Earth in NASA's Orion space station about 184 miles above our International Space Station, and now en route to their trip to go around the moon. Oh, there'd been a problem. The toilet had quit working. They think it was a Microsoft issue. I think they've got it fixed. I think. They're dealing with it. Let's put it that way. Give you more on that also in our second hour. Thanks for joining us on hour number one, April 2nd, 2026, Larry Connors USA. With Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. And we come at you hard, and we change gears a lot. So you got to really be on your toes to stay with us. In our second hour, I told you, you're going to hear from the Supreme Commander of NATO. Question, can NATO survive without the U.S.? You want to hear his answer. And later in this hour, Richard Battle in our Holy Week speaking about faith, freedom, America's moral crisis. That's coming up shortly. And the story behind the story today, the Pony Express. You know, many of you, that it originated in St. Joseph, Missouri. Do you know how long the Pony Express actually ran? Do you know why it stopped? The story behind the story of the Pony Express coming up later. Back to the president's address last night and saying one thing we had to do, obviously, is go after their nuclear capability in Iran and all of those missiles they had.
They were also rapidly building a vast stockpile of conventional ballistic missiles and would soon have had missiles that could reach the American homeland, Europe, and virtually any other place on Earth. Iran's strategy was so obvious. They wanted to produce as many missiles as possible, and they did, with the longest range possible. And they had some weapons that nobody believed they had. We just learned that out. We took them out. We took them all out.
Took them all out. Now, there are probably some that are still there. We're going to continue to pound. And we're giving them off-ramps. He's again encouraging them, come to the table, talk about peace plans, and that includes no nukes, and get rid of your missiles. All of Europe should be thankful for that. But they're not. And, of course, dealing with the Hormuz Strait, all the oil going through Iran, which funds their terrorist activities. Now, in part, the Strait has not been closed down by Iran, but threatening to hit ships going through. Lloyd's of London and others who insure these vessels, they say, we're not going to do it if you move into that area. You will not be covered. So they back out. And Trump is saying, you, Europe, you're going to need to rely on this a lot more than we do. We don't need the oil. This is on your back now.
The countries of the world that do receive oil through the Hormuz Strait must take care of that passage. They must cherish it. They must grab it and cherish it. They can do it easily. We will be helpful, but they should take the lead in protecting the oil that they so desperately depend on. So to those countries that can't get fuel, many of which refuse to get involved in the decapitation of Iran, we had to do it ourselves. I have a suggestion. Number one, buy oil from the United States of America. We have plenty. We have so much.
Yeah.
And number two, build up some delayed courage. Should have done it before. Should have done it with us, as we asked. Go to the Strait and just take it.
Grow a spine. Speaking about our oil production, the latest from the Department of Interior, President Trump oversaw record levels of domestic energy production last year, close to a billion barrels of offshore oil. A record. We've got the oil. We're doing it. We're drill, baby, drill. Those countries out there stranded, if they're going to need oil and gas, and it has to come through the Hormuz Strait, maybe it's time for you to grow a spine and go in there and do your own job. Because we have done a lot of it for you already. And as I told you yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu said, Iran is no longer an existential threat to Iran. By that, he's talking about, to Israel. By that, he's talking about nuclear capability, which is a key point. And those missiles. Some did fire into Iran today. And probably more will. Others are weighing in on President Trump's speech last night, but more importantly, not just the words, but the results. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
This is how you win in 32 days. You have a commander-in-chief that will unleash the might of the American military with clear objectives. So what did we learn tonight? In 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have completed the objective of destroying their ballistic missile program, no longer be able to threat America or Europe, make more missiles. We learned tonight that their nuclear ambitions to build a nuclear bomb have been completely decimated, and their ability to finance terrorism is gone.
Is gone. But you know what they are doing in Iran? Word is coming out the Iranian regime is executing its own people in record numbers while the war continues to some extent. They're just executing citizens, even if they're not in the streets protesting. If they even suspect that you're against the regime and you favor becoming a westernized nation, they're killing them. But as far as what we have been doing, former Deputy National Security Advisor Victoria Coates says President Trump made the case tonight the vital national security interest of our nation is outstanding.
I think the president made the case tonight as to why this was in the vital national security interests of the United States to initiate Operation Epic Fury. And he laid out the case as to how close they were to getting a nuclear weapon. Nobody wanted to see another North Korea in the middle of the Middle East, and especially the kind of hostage taking we've seen over the course of this month. Their desire to hold the entire global economy hostage for their nuclear ambitions. This can't be tolerated. So the United States acted. We have acted decisively. It has been enormously successful by every possible metric. We'll wrap it up in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll see what happens to Iran after that. That's entirely up to what's left, of, as you say, of the regime.
And to that extent, all the European nations, the UK said, we're not going to send any battleships to help you at the Strait of Hormuz. Spain was shutting down some of its landing spaces for our planes to refuel, as did France and Germany. They were just thinking, the U.S. will take care of the Strait of Hormuz. We'll all live happily ever after. Kumbaya, without really getting our fingers dirty. That's changing. That's changing. Trump has made it clear, we don't need the Hormuz Strait. We were helping you. And where were you when we called on your help? You NATO nations in particular, where were you? Secretary Rubio yesterday outlined and said Portugal had been a bigger supporter of what we're doing than any of these other nations I just named. So now that they realize if they're not going to be in there fighting for the Strait of Hormuz, we are going to have to get involved. And yet, Trump is still saying, despite the rhetoric of last night, inside the rhetoric is a peace offering. And he's offering it for Iran to take quickly. And that word, as you can hear from our ambassador to NATO, Matt Whitaker, is very clear.
And there's not much left, quite frankly, to bomb in Iran. You know, the military has been quite effective and efficient of demonstrating our capabilities. And, you know, President Trump, I think, has at the beginning of this suggested it would be 4 to 6 weeks. But, you know, he didn't say that that was a hard deadline. It was when we accomplish our objectives. And I think it's very important. You know, President Trump has always chosen diplomacy first and only used military action when diplomacy didn't work or when the Iranians or anyone else we negotiate with demonstrate that they're not willing to make a deal. And so I think, you know, it is pretty clear that we are talking to the right people in Iran, that we believe that there is an off-ramp that Iran can choose. And that, you know, President Trump, again, he's the negotiator in chief. He is a peacemaker. And, you know, I think we all expect and trust that he'll get this done on his terms.
On his terms, not Iran's terms. Iran and Israel took the fight to Iran. And it benefits the world. It benefits us. It benefits Israel. But it benefits the rest of the world, including all the NATO countries. But where have they been? In the shadows, as I said with the commentary running today. There are your friends. You're in the sunlight, but at night, they disappear, just like your shadow. Coming up, Richard Battle on the faith, freedom, and America's moral crisis in this Holy Week. And to our Jewish friends, we continue to wish you happy Passover. Coming up, the story behind the story of the Pony Express. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, bury me till I confess. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, and I can't get you out of my head.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, welcome back. We're having trouble establishing our communications with Richard Battle. I had wanted to book him for Holy Week. He's got a piece of dealing with the faith, freedom, and America's moral crisis. We originally going to plan to have him tomorrow, but I had re-verified to say I want him today. The reason I had to push him off until Friday is because I was not sure what President Trump was going to say last night and how vital it would be and how much we needed to devote to it today. Plus the Artemis launch yesterday, making sure that we're good with that before we go farther. So we'll continue to try to reach him. But in the meantime, I'll go back over what some things I was sharing with you earlier with some of the detractors for Donald Trump. And of course, they're easy to spot. I mean, my God, they stand out. They stand out like flat tires on a parking lot, because you're going to see them right away. But they want you to believe that they still have air in them. They don't even have hot air. One of them being veteran Democrat strategist James Carville, condemning Trump, as I said earlier. And here's something else Carville is saying, aside from his remarks about Iran, saying it's all wrong and we shouldn't be doing it. Carville is threatening the Trump children and spouses moving forward. Here's what he said. First of all, he wants to say the midterm elections will be like Mike Tyson being punched in the mouth. And Mike Tyson has a saying, everybody has a plan A until you get punched in the mouth. That's true. We referred to that yesterday in our story behind the story of my days as an amateur gloves boxer. Did you miss that? See, every day at 6 o'clock, at the end of the 6, we have a story behind the story now. A little change from what we normally do. And you can never tell what the story is going to be, if it's going to be a real heavy story or if it's going to be a little bit lighter. Well, either way, I did get punched in the mouth, so my golden gloves career came to an end. Plan A was gone. But James Carville talking about he expects a widespread defeat of Trump and the GOP in the midterm. Do not let this happen. And this is incumbent upon you. You. Make sure you and your others get out to vote for the midterm. Don't just toss it away saying, well, I'm sure we'll keep it. Don't be so sure. We're doing everything we can to make sure the elections are legitimate. But even if they're legitimate, the numbers could be against you if you're not out there participating. Anyway, Carville said, James Carville. I always make fun of James Carville. I like his Louisiana accent. I do. Just like John F. Kennedy of Louisiana. I like it. And Carville, of course, is the guy who got Bill Clinton out of the Arkansas governor's mansion right into the White House. Wow. That's a big move. And had all of his teeth. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I got a lot of Arkansas friends. Didn't mean what I said. Just joking around. But James Carville said in an interview, let me talk about your future, your post-November future. He's talking about after it's all done and said. The Democrats are going to investigate you to no end. He's talking about in 2 years from now for the general election because Trump cannot run again. Or can he? Oh boy, did I set off a fire then. No, he cannot. But Vance can, or Rubio, or others that would carry forward what he's accomplishing. And that has to happen, by the way. The midterms are important. The general election the next time around, even more so. Because everything we've accomplished so far could be wiped out. But here's what Carville says. They're going to start going after you. Then they're going to start figuring out where all the money stolen is. Then they're going to go after your stupid jackass kids and their spouses and all the kids that you see. They're going to investigate the S out of you. Did he ever say anything like that regarding Joe Biden and his crime family, Hunter Biden, and all the millions coming from foreign aristocrats, oligarchs, money we will never be able to trace fully? He never raised question one, not one. You have no credibility with me if you're not willing to chastise both sides. And where has Trump made all this money? I keep hearing this. I've got a close relative who thinks that, well, he's stealing and you know, he's selling these Trump Bibles. That doesn't seem right. I will agree. I'm not a fan of some of the stuff he's been doing. Delving into bitcoins and delving into personal commemorized coins and selling Bibles. I'm not a fan of that. But let me remind you one clear thing. We did not elect a saint. We elected a man to serve as president. You don't like the man, okay. But he's done nothing illegal in any of the things I just listed. And where's all the money that he's supposedly making? And think of the money and the donations he's made. One of them being rebuilding, or rather building a ballroom for the White House. Yeah, building a ballroom for the White House. And under that, they're also going to put an extensive military secure area. And yet we've got an activist judge coming forward, U.S. District Judge Leon, saying, well, I don't know about this violation. This is the National Trust for Historical Preservation request. They have made the file for an injunction because they don't think Trump should be doing this. He's the steward of the White House, not the owner, that he needs congressional approval. Trump has pointed out, we're not using taxpayers' dollars. We're using money donated. Now, of course, folks are going to say, well, they're donating the money because they expect a little something-something, you know? When Obama was president, Trump offered for him. He said, look, I will take my money and build you a big ballroom. The White House needs it for bigger functions as they spill into the Rose Garden and sometimes you can't have them because of the weather. I will pay for it. And, of course, he would have had others stepping in with him, but Obama said, no, we don't need it. I can take care of everything. It's this kind of attitude that really ticks me off on a regular basis. But again, we had strategist James Carville saying, we're going to be investigating you forever and ever. He never did say word one about Biden. And before the 2024 election, Carville even warned, if Trump's arrested he would mass arrest his critics in the media. Riddle me this. Has he arrested anybody in the media that was a critic? He moved their chairs around in the White House press room. Maybe they don't get to sit. Maybe they don't get to be at the front row, but they're not arrested. And this remark I told you about earlier about Bruce Springsteen decided, I'm going to use my performance, my concert in Minneapolis, because it's a deep blue state, probably surrounded by a lot of Somalians and others, and I'm going to make it a chance to stand on the soapbox and go after Trump. He unleashed four pointed political speeches during the opening night of his tour, saying, we're living through some very dark times. American values sustaining us for 250 years are being challenged as never before. We've got young men and women and lives at risk in an unconstitutional and illegal war. Now, you could say that, but it's not unconstitutional at this point. He said there are immigrants being held in detention centers around the country and being deported without the process of law to alien countries and foreign gulags. That's happening now. Yeah, well, there are a lot of illegals in our country that are killing American citizens, raping them, leaving them for dead. What do you have to say to those people and their families? Bruce? I've always kind of liked his music, but right now I get sick listening. I won't listen to it. He was on my playlist. I'm playing poker. I listen to a lot of music because you're folding a lot of hands. You're just picking your time and the cards and the player to find where you're going to make some moves. You can't play every hand in a poker tournament. So I'm just listening to music. That was on there. Well, it is now wiped out. One person said, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen. A true American rock star, grateful to have him here. Another said, cue incoming MAGA with their feelings hurt. Look, he's entitled to say what he wants. It's his forum, his concert. You are entitled to never buy another ticket nor anything that goes to Bruce Springsteen. We got a lot of actors and actresses I like for their ability. I hate them for their politics. And they are going to feel the wrath at some point. At some point. All right, coming up, our story behind the story, one of our more popular features now on Newstalk STL and Larry Connors USA, Pony Express.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. Got the hammer down, Detroit made, 525 pushing my ass right down that line. And that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on the road.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Well, howdy. Warren Upson's the name. But around here in the old days, they used to call me Boston. The old days, that is, of the Pony Express. The finest and the most colorful bunch of fellas I have had the pleasure to acquaintance. Yeah, we worked for a group of big money men, Misters Russell, Majors, and Waddell. I saw a poster. Wanted. Young, skinny, wiry fellas, not over 18, must be expert riders, willing to face death daily. Orphans preferred. What the heck, I figured I signed up. I took the oath saying there wouldn't be no cussing or drinking, and I was up in the saddle on the very first Pony Express run back in April of 1860. My buddy Sam Hamilton had the first leg coming out of Sacramento, California, carrying a mail pouch we called a mochila. He handed off to me for the second leg straight up and over the Sierras. Plan was for me to make Friday's station in 8 hours or I'd be stuck out there riding around in the dark. Had a little problem, though. It had been raining for 2 days.
That is, of course, a historical reenactment done by an historical group, obviously, with a guy portraying a Pony Express rider and some of the things that he knew and some of the letters and information all wrapped into one. The Pony Express was a 1,966-mile long relay for mail service. It started in St. Joseph, Missouri, and also in Sacramento, California. Also rapidly connected to the East and West Coast, they ended up employing about 80 to 100 riders to cover that distance. They were covering that distance in 10 days. The riders would change horses every 10 to 15 miles. There were 165 stations in place. It was a way to get mail from one side of the country to the other when we didn't have that option at that point. Now, I know for some of you thinking, what? We didn't have any way to communicate? I couldn't text, I couldn't DM or whatever else you want to do? No, you couldn't. Mark Twain wrote a piece about it in 1872 titled Roughing It. He said, a black speck appears against the sky, and it is plain that it moves. Another instant, and a man and horse burst past our excited faces and winging away like the belated fragment of a storm. talking about the Pony Express riders. They were moving as fast as they could. Did you find it interesting when he said, when they were originally looking for riders, they said, we're really primarily looking for orphans. They did not want to have anyone that might have family here that would be worried about them on their journeys. And the Pony Express riders encountered a lot of difficulties. Once again, back to a narration of an expose and documentary on the Pony Express.
The Pony Express lives on as an adored American legend. The Pony Express was a United States mail business spanning 1,800 miles across the country. It was rode entirely on horseback and could transport a letter across the country in 10 days or less. While this much of American history is familiar, would you know how long the pony operated? Do you know who created it? How much of the actual story do you know? Like many American children, I had some early history lessons about the Pony Express, but I felt that these didn't do the pony justice. My hometown of South Lake Tahoe is near many historic Pony Express stops. The trail was essentially in my backyard, so I decided to investigate this legend and see what I could discover. However, the more I researched the Pony Express, the more I realized how difficult it was to piece together a coherent history. Many of the stories were larger than life. To help explain the legend of the pony, I decided to seek out the man who knew the pony better than anyone else, a lifelong journalist and author of the book Orphans Preferred, The Twisted Truth and Lasting Legend of the Pony Express, Christopher Corbett.
If it doesn't sound boorish, I actually know a lot about the Pony Express. What I should tell you is that I think Americans in the 21st century are often amazed to find how brief the life of the Pony Express was. That it lasted a mere 78 weeks, more or less. Even people who think they know a great deal about American history always make these madcap and wild guesstimates of 20 years and 25 years.
How long did the Pony Express operate?
I think they operated about...
I don't know, 25 years?
10 or 12 years. Wasn't very long. Maybe 75 to 100 years, I think.
50 years?
50 years? They only operated for a year and a half.
Year and a half?
Year and a half.
Really?
Okay. Wow. I knew it wasn't long. I didn't know it was that quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also know nothing about the business.
The business was founded by three men named Alexander Majors, William Waddell, and William Russell. These men had already been in other shipping business ventures together when they decided to tackle fast mail.
The company was called the Central Overland California and Pike's Peak Express Company, which was too damn long to fit on anything. So they called it the Pony Express. But people in the West used to, because of the initials, people said the initials meant clean out of cash and poor pay because they were notorious for not paying their bills. Many of those old boys lived well into the 20th century and were interviewed. They always talked about not getting paid. They always complained about not being paid.
Not being paid. And of course, that puts a halt to a lot of things, doesn't it? Pony Express initiated 1860, came to an end in 1861, about 18 months later. You're going to hear more from author Chris Corbett on history of Pony Express here shortly. But one of the other issues they had to face, obviously Indians and thieves, things of that nature that you might encounter back then. But then you had the weather.
11 miles out, I hit the American River. Now, normally, that ain't no more than a creek. But that day, I had to swim the pony across, water up to my armpits, and carrying that mochila on top of my head. Further on up, the rains finally stopped, and the snow started falling. Might have ended up dragging that pony behind me more than I sat on her. Well, I made it to Strawberry Station, but the farther up I went, the worse the snows got. Time I got to the summit, I couldn't see the nose in front of my face. I got my reward, though. Coming down the east side, the clouds finally broke, and there was Lake Tahoe sitting down there in the sunshine. What a sight. I made Friday's station in just under 8 hours.
Now, again, that's an actor reenacting either some mail that he had intercepted or seen in storylines. But that 8 hours, that was a pretty significant note. Keep in mind, the Pony Express could make this trip normally, and at the most, maybe if they didn't encounter rough weather, they might be able to do it in 16 days. A stagecoach would take normally 20-plus days. And I'll point out to you that in Cottleville, I have a prior sponsor I've had on before and hope to have them back soon. The Oak Street Inn and Lounge, that was at one point a Pony Express stop where they would stop, grab a bite to eat, grab a fresh horse, and off they would run. So what did end the Pony Express? Not just money, but a new dang-fangled convention. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
They did complain about the weather.
Once I spent 24 hours in the saddle, carrying the mail 120 miles to Fairfield with snow 2 or 3 feet deep and the mercury around zero. I could tell where the trail lay only by watching the tall weeds on either side, and often had to get off and lead my horse. There was no rider to go on at Fort Kearney, so I went on to Fairfield 20 miles away. The worst difficulty I ever had was with the storms. Sometimes that fierce wind and rain that came on that level country would slow us up a good deal. But it was the blizzards, though, that gave us the toughest treatment.
The thing that they set out to do, which was to move mail across the country in 10 days' time or less, they did that. The problem was, it was not a well-thought-out business. They had a lot of debt. You required stations every 10 or 12 miles. You required a lot of men. You required horses, good horses. You had to feed the horses. Some of that terrain is tough to cross. Financially, it was sort of doomed.
Poor business practices attributed to the downfall of the pony, but the final nail in the coffin was the completion of the Transcontinental Telegraph.
The telegraph. Once it was completed, that changed everything. And once again, Pony Express historian and author Chris Corbett.
I did a piece for the Wall Street Journal on the 150th anniversary of the Pony Express, and whoever I was talking to there said to me something about, you know, this has to be the most famous failed business in American history. And I thought, you know, that's probably true.
So how is it that the Pony Express is as familiar as it is in present day? Well, as Chris describes, it has to do with the storytellers who took the pony and made it their own.
The afterlife was colossal. In some respects, the story of the Pony Express only took off after they went out of business. At that point, it was like, woo! The people who were somehow tangentially associated with the pony, like Mark Twain, Wild Bill Hickok, John Ford, the filmmaker, among others, these people had a kind of a wildly unexpected collaborative impact on the memory of the pony. So the person who had the greatest impact on the whole thing, in some respects, would be the first great American celebrity, Buffalo Bill. Buffalo Bill put the Pony Express in his show in 1880, 1881, roughly. And it was a fixture of that show until the show went out of business in 1916, 17, somewhere about. Wherever he took that show for decades in the United States and in Western Europe, he took the Pony Express with him. And when Buffalo Bill got done, people didn't remember that the Pony Express had been a 78-week disaster that hemorrhaged money. They thought it was, you know, bigger than life. It's like a fishing story. The fish just got a little bigger every year.
That's true. But keep in mind the reality of it. 1,966 miles. Stations, about 165 of them, which meant you had to have horses at each of the stations ready for the next rider. And the distance between the stations, about 10 miles, but sometimes it was tougher terrain than others. And each rider rode one segment of the route, 75 to 100 miles long, before they would get off and another rider would take over with a fresh horse. But at each station, if the rider was to continue, he simply switched to another horse and took off. Average speed, 10 miles an hour. But a rider could change horses 8 to 10 times per ride, about every 10 miles or so. Now again, getting mail from Missouri to California. 10 days in the summer. The heat and everything else that went with it. And, of course, worrying about Indians, thieves, and so forth. In the winter, 12 to 16 days because of mountain snows. But keep in mind, it was still speedier than a stagecoach, which took 24 days. But then, October 26, 1981, the Pony Express was terminated following the completion of the Transcontinental Telegraph. Pony Express lasting only 18 months, but it is a myth of the American West, and one we enjoy. And yeah, others have made it bigger than what it was. It is a fish story that gets bigger and bigger. But there were real young men, often orphans, willing to take that journey. And as it turned out, in many cases, they got no pay for it because the company could not do that. Kind of sounds like the current Postal Service, doesn't it? Our story behind the story tomorrow night. A mother who claimed her infant daughter was kidnapped. Years later, she reported another baby girl kidnapped. Paula Sims. We have a second hour still to come. And don't forget our pledge. One nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.